Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. It's me, Jackie Cation. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, if you like a determiner. You can donate to the show using PayPal or Venmo. You go to the websites, you find out where I'm doing stand-up comedy. Rangers of the Dork Forest, I love you dearly, and thank you so much. Feel free to go to Apple, rate and review the show. 5 stars would be great. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg sang and wrote that song that you just heard, and he will be singing at the end, the Mexican Hat Dance. Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio and video, and we thank all the stars for that. Let's get into the show. Hi, Rangers. It's me, Jackie Cation, in my garage, talking with a man that I met face-to-face for the first time probably 1 month ago, instrumental in getting me to work at his movie theater turned live space, the Time Theater in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Phil Krause, welcome to the welcome to the family. Welcome to the show, The Dork Forest.
Yeah, hi, Jackie. glad to be here.
There you go. It happened. I introduced you. The TimeCommunityTheater.com is in Oshkosh, and it is on a street that has so many little hipster moments that I enjoyed myself thoroughly. I went to the comic book store. I went to the DVD store. I went everywhere that you would have wanted to go if you lived there. I went to the coffee shop, and then I went across the street and I had a hamburger. So
they took you to Bar 430?
I think I was at Bar 430 with my friends who are from Oshkosh. I was just in town to visit my dad, to look at him as he ages, as we all go, to go look at people. And then you said, ah, it's too bad. What's-his-face didn't get you in here. And I said, yeah, that is too bad. Lyle. And then moments later, I get an email from Lyle, the nicest guy on the planet, saying, do you want to come? And it happened. We put a show together in just 2 weeks.
Lyle's at foxvalleycomedy.com. See a bunch of stuff he does all over the Fox Valley.
Fox Valley, guys, home of Houdini. Yes.
Yeah, our spot, tap rooms, etc.
Right. Fox Valley Comedy is Lyle's. That's Lyle's baby. And it's great. And Lyle's great. And Phil's great. And Phil's dorkdom that we're going to talk about is a UK TV show, which I see your notes. There's other countries have it as well. Taskmaster?
Taskmaster. There's a New Zealand version and an Australian version that I've watched a lot of.
There doesn't seem to be, it's not streaming anywhere except YouTube.
Not to my knowledge, although I bet people in those other countries we've mentioned have it on their, you know,
how did you watch it?
Or whatever. So we've always been at our house. We've always been interested in chat shows, which, you know, there's a lot more of in the UK. QI and Mock the Week and What I Lie to You and stuff like that. There's a few that aren't that big. And then those folks are at least the first wave of contestants on Taskmaster. So I'm sure during the pandemic, like everyone else who loves Taskmaster, we started watching. And immediately we were hooked because it had a lot of people we already liked. And then some people we'd never seen. And one of the things about Taskmaster is it gives everybody a real good chance to perform comedy to be funny, even though you're not already familiar with them, you know?
Okay. So I'll tell you, here's me name dropping. I first heard of Taskmaster when Matt Fraction, amazing comic book writer.
Oh, sure.
Said that I should watch that. That was something we were just hanging out and he was like, oh, my favorite show is Taskmaster. And I was like, and I thought he meant the Marvel, because he's a Marvel comic book writer. I thought it was the Marvel comic book guy who wears the mask, who is portrayed by a woman in the Black Widow movie, but and can be anything because it's a comic book.
Skull-faced man.
Yep. Skull-faced copycat who could copy all the things that everybody else does. But that is not what this is. Taskmaster is some sort of, there are tasks.
So what they do is they get five comedians, almost always comedians or comedic actors. They've thrown in some radio people now and then. And they do a special called New Year's Treat, where it's not strictly comedians, where it's just a one-off. But we can double back to that. So five people, each go to their location, which they call the Taskmaster House, and then they film tasks. What do I have written down?
Wait, are they doing this? Are the five contestants doing the same tasks simultaneously, or are they filming them?
Almost always they're doing it like, you know, Wednesday will be James Acaster and then Thursday will be Carrie Gottlieben or what.
Okay.
And then
how long is the show?
It's 10 episodes and the UK version is an hour.
It's 10 one
episodes
hour,
is a season.
Okay. And each episode is an hour. And so I'm sorry to have to unpack this from the very beginning, but let's do it. These five comics or these five players are given the same task. Each of them have to do the same thing. And then they go off and do it. They don't do it on set. They sometimes, or they do, or they have, depends what the task is.
So let me outline what a typical show looks like.
Okay.
So it's a soundstage somewhere in the UK. I think it's at their big studios where they also film, you know, James Bond movies and X-Men movies and all the rest. But it's a soundstage. There's an audience, and there's the two people, the creator of the show, Alex Horn. He plays the Taskmaster's assistant, and then Greg Davies, who is the Taskmaster. He assigns points.
Okay.
Greg came up a couple weeks ago on your show when they were talking about The Cleaner. A comedian was talking about her favorite UK shows, and I think she mentioned The Cleaner. That's Greg Davis.
Okay, anyway, that's Greg Davis. Okay.
In Betweeners, too, you can see on American TV. Anyway, that's him. So then five comedians are sitting across from them by a bit, and then every show starts with the prize task, where they bring in a thing that fits the theme of the day. I thought I wrote down a prize task. Yeah. So the example I gave for a prize task is best thing to bring on a long car journey. And that was season 14, I think, which has Darryl Green. You might know.
Let me just ask what word you're saying. It's a prize task?
Yeah, prize task. So they bring in a thing.
Each comic brings in a thing.
Each comic brings in a thing. And this is the thing. The one I sent you was best thing to bring on a long car task. A guy named Munya Chihuahua brings like a coordination thing.
Oh, like the cup and the ball or?
Yeah, okay. I think it's like a magnetic cup and ball sort of. And he didn't do very well with that prize.
Wait, are they, Fern is Brady there some fight? But is there, do you get points for the thing that you bring in from home?
Yes.
That's one of the tasks?
So,
okay.
One of the tasks every show is a prize task. And you get a prize for bringing in the thing best suited to that task. Sarah Milliken won for that particular prize for bringing in an escape hammer, you know, with the little thing to cut your seatbelt and to smash your windshield if you crash your car.
Okay.
And then the middle task was a little sailor hat that said ahoy. So, but that's the start of every show. They go to a prize task, and then
the stuff they bring,
they get usually
one to five. What happens to the stuff at the end of the show? Does someone get to keep it? Why did I think that?
Technically, the winner of each episode gets to keep the thing, but they may or may not actually keep the thing because it may or may not be a thing that they would ever want in their life.
Right.
And sometimes it's an ephemeral thing like
An emotion?
One of them, the prize task was best noise, and one of the contestants hired an opera singer to sing the winner's name.
Oh.
So you can't bring a person home, but you can bring them.
You can't, but you'll have that memory.
Yeah. And then, so when they're done with the prize task, getting 1 to 5 points, they usually go to a filmed task. And film tasks come in 2 categories. And that's either a group task, where the 5 people are split up into a group of 2 and a group of 3. And then they'll have those folks work together on a task, or they'll go to an individual task and show the 5 people trying to do 1 individual thing.
Okay. And how many seasons of this are there?
So we are right now in the 2nd episode of the 16th UK season.
Okay.
There's 4 New Zealand seasons, 1 Australian, I think a couple in Portugal and a couple in Spain. I might be making up Spain.
You know what? So wait, are they in like New Zealand and Australia and Portugal? Are they using comedians as their guests there too?
I think so. Although, so one of the things I wrote down was,
know in your heart that I haven't read any of your notes. I did indeed print them. Good for me.
Okay.
But I wanted to hear from you how much Phil Krause, enjoy the TV show Taskmaster.
Just for what it's worth, I'm a Phil Krause rhymes with lousy. Phil Krause that rhymes with mouse.
Look what I did. Krause.
I think a German person would say Krause, but you know.
But Krause. All right, I'm in.
So
Krause. Longy.
You have professed your love for Deadlock, I believe.
Yes.
And
the Australian mystery series, 1 season. Yes.
I believe we call it a murder comedy in our house.
Okay.
So Abby from that Big Eyes is on the 1st season of Taskmaster Australia.
Okay.
And Eddie is Eddie Redwall
is also on it.
Taskmaster New Zealand. She was on the 1st season. I think she won, but I watched like, I don't know, maybe 4 out of 10 of those. So there's a Jackie can relate to Taskmaster fact is.
Right. You had some crossover. You were like, you've mentioned these people. These people were on Taskmaster. Yeah. I did read that far into your notes.
Yeah. So that is.
Bridget Christie, who's married to my friend Stuart Lee.
Yeah. Bridget Christie is on maybe season 13, 12 or 13. Don't quote me. And Bridget is one of the most interesting contestants. She kind of either comes in first or last on almost every film task. She's either like knocking it out of the park or she doesn't understand the concept at all.
Right.
And does a bewildering, infuriating thing. One of the tasks I wrote down as an example of a good thing was, I think the name the tasks I'll have. So the task is recreate a accurate and emotional scene from history with these 2 traffic cones. So they gave them like 2 traffic cones, you know, whatever, 2 feet high or whatever a traffic cone is.
Okay, I will try to watch this again. Okay.
She got a stuffed dog from the house and a pot lid. And then there's obviously editing and sound to put this in. But then she recorded a thing about Laika, the space dog from the Soviet space program.
Yeah.
That is just beautiful and heartbreaking and just a little bit funny. And then at the end, like, she didn't know that Laika died. So she had this, like, huge emotional reaction. So it was this whole thing. And then like other people, like one guy, that particular task, one guy covered it with cotton balls. He covered both of them with cotton balls. And he said, it's Dolly the sheep. Somebody else like filled them with sand and made like a Pyramids of Egypt scene.
Okay.
And then there's two that I'm forgetting from that bit, but you take
two cones and recreate some historical moment.
Right.
I have to say that there is an episode of The Dork Forest with a Seattle comic whose name is escaping me. All I remember is that his two dorkdoms were the Beatles and the Diary of Anne Frank. And I don't know why I used to let people just pick two things unrelated. And so it's an earlier season of The Dork Forest.
Sure.
And he said he was listening to The Diary of Anne Frank on a book on tape as he went to between gigs. And he did not know that she died at the end.
Oh, boy.
And so he was sobbing at the end of this book before he had to go do his. He was like, who would kill a 16-year-old? And you're like, Nazis. Nazis.
No, the Nazis.
Yeah. You're going to see a pattern. And for her not to know that the dog dies is heartbreakingly hilarious. And the fact that she chose the dog anyway.
Right.
That's so weird.
Well, it was supposed to be emotional, and it was.
Yeah.
So probably she got 5 points for that one instead of 1 point.
Okay. So that's
16
years versus 4 years in New Zealand and 1 year in Australia.
I think they might do two.
But the UK one,
yeah,
it's got to be just huge and forever. And so if you go back like 2015
is the first season, I think.
Okay.
So I think they do 2 years. But don't quote me.
No. This is just a TV show. Now, how do you watch it? Do you watch it on YouTube?
Mostly on YouTube. If you want to put folks in touch with me to give them how to get ones under the table.
The Dork Forest Rangers of the Dork Forest have their own they have their own skidball ways of accessing things. In other countries.
You could use a VPN to watch it as in UK.
Okay.
And then
Bill Krause, by the way, a completely legal dude, would never.
Yep.
And it would be nice if it were a streaming, though, because just think of the quality.
Yeah.
It's probably better than your audio quality right now.
The current season, season 16, they are putting. They like show it on a Thursday night in the UK, and then it's available Friday night in America, because so many people were pirating it anyway, that they were just like, we might as well get, you know, 35 cents from Sticker Mule or whatever.
So you can watch
the current season right away.
Okay.
And there's a lot of seasons up on YouTube. And sometimes they disappear and then they come back. You can pay them. They have their own streaming service called Taskmaster Plus, possibly.
if it isn't called Taskmaster Plus, it should be called Taskmaster Plus.
It might Paramount be Taskmaster Plus. Max Plus. I don't know. You can pay them like, you know, $6.99 a month, and you get all the versions of Taskmaster from all the countries.
Oh, and you could just spend several months watching that and then be done. And then they will have gotten $30 or whatever. And
right.
Which is better than nothing, I suppose.
Right.
And then you will forget that you're paying them $6.99, and you will continue to pay them that for 2 years. And then they will be psyched.
That is how they do it. So that's a starts with a prize task, goes to film tasks, and then at the end of this they do a stunt, a show, a task on stage where it's the five of them competing against each other to get more points from one to five.
And is that arbitrary? Greg Davies pick arbitrarily?
There are tasks and games that are subjective. Where it's his judgment as to what's best. And then there's tasks and games that's like, you know, fastest time wins. XYZ wins. So, and then, you know, sometimes people break the rules and then they get disqualified and they get no points or a very low amount of points. So that happens.
Okay. That is interesting. Okay. So what you've told me so far, the winner gets a trophy and probably all careers are boosted by the exposure and hopefully they get just the regular money that you get for being on television.
I'm sure they're paid.
$1,100 or $1,400 you get for being on a TV show. So, they get days to film these tasks at a Taskmaster house, and then months later they get together in the studio and talk about the tasks, and then compete in live tasks. And the winner gets a trophy and probably. And they get all the stuff that people bring.
They do get all the stuff people bring
if they want it.
If they're the winner of the night.
And so then the live task. Yep.
Yeah. The live task at the end of the show is usually a weird stunt. I've copied a couple for our big, we do Rocky Horror Picture Show at the time. We were getting ready for that a couple weeks after you were there. And I've done a couple of games when people were unlucky enough to have me as the host for their Rocky Horror Picture Show festivities with all of this energy you can imagine matches so well to like,
Bill Krause,
you know,
nobody says drag
stockings.
Yes.
Yeah. I do dress up as Brad, but that's, you know, that's very easy.
Right. That's the sort of the most straight lined.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I might have done it anyway.
You have essentially the best live task. You have several choices that you've pissed.
The ones I've reproduced because they are very cheap include, but are not limited to, sit in this chair for 100 seconds. You know, you have to sit on your hands so you're not looking at your watch. One person stood up almost immediately. But that was the
you
same
have to
the
try
show.
To guess how long 100
how much
seconds 100 is.
Seconds is. And when we said because Rocky Horror
Picture Show. This is a TV show where they're like, okay, what about this?
And then the other game I reproduced was Grape Bluff, where we give you a grape and you have to bluff me whether it's in your hand or in your mouth We asked the questions. I don't remember how they did it on the show.
Yeah. I don't know. That's insane that's the. You're just sitting. Okay. You're just like, okay, how much ink is in this pen? I mean, literally, it can be genuinely anything.
It could be anything. I told you those two because. Like, you know, that cost me putting chairs on the stage.
They're repeatable.
And then
yes.
B, a thing of grapes. Some of them are very elaborate. Like the one I sent you was sausage or finger, where they gave everybody a glove that had four or five, I don't remember, hot dogs sticking out of the glove. And they had their other hand was free. And then they would have to have another contestant turn around. They would poke them with a sausage or a finger, and then that person would have to guess whether they were being poked with a sausage or a finger.
That's insane. What? And what if? So,
I believe the person who guessed correctly the most won 5 points, and then the first person out got 1 point, and second out two, and so on down the line.
You've been touched with raw hot dogs. Right. Yeah.
Sausage or finger. Everybody says.
Picture of a horse or a lamb. What is that one?
So I should have looked it up. I didn't. That's the same season. There's a comedian called Joe Brand. You might have. She's kind of an elder statesman. So the host, Greg, was looking at, he had like a, I think it was on like a
ping pong paddle, let's say, and he would flip it okay. so you couldn't see it. And then one side was a horse and the other side was a laminator. Laminator is a joke from another season. They do a in joke sometimes. So
he's what is a laminator? Are you talking about a machine that laminates things?
Yeah, the machine that laminates. For Taskmaster fans, the king of stationery.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one side of the paddle has a horse on it. One has a laminator. The other side has a laminator machine. Okay.
And then Joe Brand guessed correctly 14, 15, 17 times in a row. Just like.
What? Just every. Yeah. Just new.
She was just like.
Somehow.
Horse, laminator. So maybe you could talk about the general makeup of the five people. There's almost always one kind of elder statesman comedian, someone who's a little more established.
Okay.
And then the rest are younger ones, and they always. I don't know how as a white guy to say it, but there's always someone who isn't white on every season.
That's how you say it. There's always someone who isn't just one, or do they try to? Do they ever get more than one woman or more than one not white?
It started out the first four seasons, there was maybe just one woman and non-white. And then the fifth season was two women. And then recent seasons have been three women and, you know.
They realized that they were just doing one and one. And then there was still work for three white guys.
It was a little bit... you know, when they started out in 2015, the people they wanted to get on were maybe slightly more, 32-year-old white guys.
And the selection of 32 to 42-year-old white guys is incredible. There's a broad, wide pool.
Right.
And it doesn't mean, I mean, the Dork Forest, one year, and it was just not long ago, someone was like, well, what's your breakdown of how many straight white guys you have to everybody else? And I was like, oh, I bet you it isn't good. Yes. This is going to be like 2 weeks in a row. Right. Well, here's the thing about being on the Dork Forest, you guys. Squeaky wheel gets the grease because I'm so busy that you have to remind me that you want to be on the show. And guess who was raised to squeak? Straight white guys raised to squeak, my friends.
Yeah.
And so... I do tend to, but I make an effort now to frickin' mix it up because, and it still falls by the wayside. So, hey, everybody out there.
Have a bunch of Canadians on and pretend that counts.
I just did have a Canadian guy on and, he was great. What did he talk? It was just, it might've been last week. Good for me.
Oh, Minister Faust.
Anyway, it was Minister Faust. Yeah. He's Canadian, and he talked about he was great. He talked about anime. I've read
several of his novels.
Have you read a couple of his books?
Yeah.
How are they?
If I had to name them, I'd lose that bet. But
But you enjoyed them at the time, yeah.
Yes. Very, very slightly gritty superhero pastiches were what I read of his.
Okay. Yeah. He told me that he's got a new book out and that he would send it to me. And I, of course, have been down a rabbit hole of 13 other tasks and have not had a chance to do it. Plus, I have a stack like this of books that are next. So, but his could be on that stack. He wouldn't mind it. MinisterFaust.com. Anyway, so this show, Taskmaster, so... Fern, wait. I'm on the next page. So there's a great prize task.
Prize task. What prize task?
Favorite film tasks include Song for a Stranger. What is that one?
Song for a Stranger was from the fifth season. It's Mark Watson and Nish Kumar as one team. They met a woman named Rosalind. The other team got to meet her too, of course. The other team that season is Aisling B, Sally Phillips, and Bob Mortimer. So or they meet a stranger, they get to ask her questions, and then they have to write a song and perform it for her. Like, they've got 10 minutes to ask her questions. Let's say 20 minutes to write a song, and then they perform it.
Teams, do they meet the same woman?
They met the same woman.
And her name was Rosalind.
Rosalind, yeah. I'll have to ask, can I, I'm not going to swear on this, but
you can.
When people, okay. So the song for a stranger by the two, by the team of two, which is Mark and Nish, who had been, let's say, underdogs in the show. They did such a great job. Mark is playing drums and Nish is playing guitar, and they did great at that. And the song is You're Always Doing Cool Stuff. And basically everything they asked her, she's doing. Like, she played in a chamber orchestra. She judged and ran track.
Okay.
She had a couple kids and a husband. And
okay.
They asked her stuff about that. And basically the song was like, kind of like they had a crush on her and she's always doing such cool stuff. But it was just this very sweet, high quality song. The other three do a song called Rosalind is a Fucking Nightmare, which they asked her similar questions, but they turned it into you're a piece of crap. And she claims to like both songs.
Well, I mean, the thing is to have anybody sing anything about you sounds incredibly flattering. And
so
and they had to pick. I wonder if they're told to pick different angles, right?
I'm sure they are not, but I'm also, you know, there's producers and directors, so I'm sure
there's got to be a producer out there who's listening to both, going, and there might be some guidance, but almost probably none. Plus, the stakes are so low; you're getting a trophy.
I've heard there's stuff on the New Zealand one that producers had to put a kibosh to.
Oh.
But I have not heard the same thing about the UK one. And of course, there's more than one podcast from the production company. So you do get some inside baseball on all of this stuff.
Oh, there's podcasts about this show.
There's two podcasts.
Why wouldn't there be? Oh my God. And what are they called? I wonder.
Well, there's Taskmaster : the podcast.
Okay.
And that's hosted by a former season winner. He's season 9 winner, Ed Gamble. He's got a podcast with another contestant called Off Menu. That's kind of like one of the top 3 podcasts in the world, or in the UK at least. But this podcast, every time there's a new episode, they kind of get together with somebody and talk about it. Then there's the People's Podcast with the guy who makes, there's a Taskmaster fan who's like, by the way, you know that contestants that leave the door open for a task filmed in the yard always win, you know, 22% more of the time than the people who close the door or whatever.
Oh, he's a dork. So that's it's his dorkdom. He's a full on, like, even actually more so.
Yes, more than you or I, though we will correct people that Taskmaster, the comic book character, is more.
The People's Podcast sounds better. The first podcast sounds like it's probably run by comics who you'll find out later use their powers for ill. But you don't know. I hope not. We always hope not, right? Always hope that you have a very popular podcast and you're not a douche. With your weird podcasting power.
From what I know about them, they're fine.
Oh, good. So. That's good to hear. And so there's two podcasts and there's 5 contestants. And so
there's and then the host.
I know. Yeah. I was good. Here's one of the questions I had was that I had heard that there was an American version, but the person running it didn't really get it. Like the host.
So,
was it Kamau?
Ron Funch is that, you know, a little, I think, was on there.
He was on it, but he wasn't one of the Taskmaster valet guys, was he?
the host, Alex Horn, who created the show, was the assistant on the American show as well. And then Reggie Watts.
Right, that's right. It was Reggie Watts.
Was the American Taskmaster. Lisa Lampanelli was on it.
Ron Funches.
Ron Funches. Yep. A Lady from the Righteous Gemstones, I think.
Okay.
And
but it didn't work because what I heard was that Reggie came at it from a weird angle and he wasn't course corrected.
I want to say one of, to me, the biggest flaw between the two was the UK version and all the international versions that I know of anyway are an hour or, you know, 45 minutes, whatever. And the American version was half an hour. And so they had to boil everything down. Like the American prize task segment was one person would bring in one thing and talk about it. And then the winner of that episode, would get that thing. And it was always sort of like there was a DJ guy and he brought in his laptop. So if he didn't win that episode, you were going to walk away with his laptop, and then he couldn't lay down his beats or whatever.
No.
It's not. It had a lot of the spirit, and like Ron was great, and Lisa Lampanelli was great, and even Reggie Watts was pretty funny. But it was just, you know, if you took Dallas to the UK and made it a half hour show, it would fail.
Square peg round hole. They just try to fit too much into a smaller. That's an interesting take on it. Okay.
I think with like Americans love podcasts, everyone listens to like, you know, six podcasts. But if we put those same people talking around the desk or whatever on TV, nobody in America would watch that, whereas everyone in the UK watches like three of them. So I think the comedians having a way to, the UK comedians at least having a way to kind of have a brand in people's head already helped it succeed a little bit, whereas, you know, maybe people watching on Comedy Central when it was an American show kind of knew Ron Funches a little bit from when he was on, you know, New Girl.
Right,
that
but once, there was but not much right, else. But there was more history with the UK. So, have you gotten, since they're all comics, did you get to meet new comics and like did you follow up and watch their stand up or?
Yeah. Especially like seasons 12, 13, 14, there's a lot of comedians with, they have stuff on, Prime. Chris Ramsey was on 12 and he's got a Prime special. That was great. Fern Brady, we found out about because of this, who's a Scottish woman who's, kind of had her, she's somewhere on the autism spectrum. And she talked about Taskmaster as being a place where she could just put all that stuff on full display and not have to have a sad story about how she got diagnosed with autism, but instead just be like, well, here's how this works for me and here's where it didn't.
Okay.
And she has a special on Prime, which is just all killer stuff.
So Fern Brady, and who was the other one?
Chris Ramsey,
because I have another podcast where we talk about women comics, and those should, sound like two should. Women comics.
Chris is a fella, but
Chris Fern, is a fella. I'll watch him anyway. What the heck,
Fern?
And
you would,
but
I Fern's
a lady.
Love
yeah.
Fern.
Okay.
Fern has
hilariously. Fern has Lori this. Might have already picked Fern, but then what I can do is I can introduce her as a thing, and Lori Kilmartin will say, "We've already done her, Jackie." And I'll be like, okay, well,
5 years
I just
ago, Jackie.
Yes, exactly.
I listen to your podcast too. Yeah.
Oh, do you listen to Jackie Lori? Do you know Roisin Conaty or Conaty?
Roisin Conaty. I think she says Roisin Conaty. She's a person we found out from Would I Lie to You and 8 out of 10 Cats does Countdown and stuff like that.
Has she been on Taskmaster?
She was on the first season. And one thing I would recommend for folks, if they're not sure if they'd like Taskmaster at all, the first filmed task of the first season is eat as much watermelon as you can. You have 1 minute. And Roisin walks in, and they have this room in the house they call a lab, which is sort of a room with nothing but a white table, and it's got plastic sheeting on the wall.
Thank God.
And two of the comedians, I think three of the comedians, smashed the watermelon and just started eating it with their hands. One guy who ended up winning the season, but not that show, just walked out and got a knife and a spoon and he started eating it. Roisin walks in. Her time starts now. She's looking at a whole watermelon with just big eyes like, what do I do? And she walks out of the room for like 30 seconds of her minute and comes back with tools and she got, you know, she ate a bite, but she just didn't give herself time to do anything. It was a real,
was there tension? Was there tension while you were like, you're not, you gotta, how are you?
Well,
you should.
One of the guys, Ramesh Ranganathan, he's come to America, which doesn't mean you know him. Okay. He smashed the watermelon on the floor and then basically made himself sick eating it. And then another guy smashed it and he ate a little bit after his time was up. So he was the first cheater on Taskmaster.
Ooh, cheaters.
Mm-hmm. So the first task, you get to see all of the things, people reacting in 50 different ways. Well, five, I guess. But yeah. Right. But yeah, Roisin is great.
And so is there the most, is this a guy who had 165 points? Is that the most points anyone's ever had?
What did I tell you?
James Acaster?
Yeah, James Acaster, which if you don't know, if you have Netflix and you haven't watched his special called Repertoire, I think you would really like it. It's three of his, basically three of his Edinburgh shows.
Okay.
And the fourth show where he incorporates jokes from all of those three shows as if it's real, I guess.
Okay.
one of them in the show, he's an undercover cop.
Right.
One of them, this show, he's on a jury, and all the jokes are about that. I can't remember what the anyway, but then the, but we were always Acaster fans from Repertoire, and then on his season, which was the seventh season, he got 165 points, which I only said to say I think the winner of that got 175 or 177 points. So he came in fourth. He was second from the bottom, but he was so close to.
Wow.
He was two tasks. He was two perfect tasks from winning.
To win
the whole thing. But his he had a real silly, wild energy, and
right. And he brought it to all of those tasks.
He brought it to all of those tasks.
Sally Phillips, is she a comic?
Sally Phillips is a comedic actress, and if you've watched through, Year of the Rabbit Year of the Rabbit is a show with Matt Berry, where he plays like a Jack the Ripper era detective in London, and it's basically a comedy. It's basically a comedy about Victorian London. Sally Phillips
is
in that.
Wait a minute, what's it called?
Year of the Rabbit.
Hello.
His name is like
Year of the Rabbit. Sounds like it's right up my alley, which is
You would really
sad
like
yet true.
She's on that. She's stuff. I thought she's on an episode or two of Midsummer Murders and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah. Steady work.
She does hosting and stuff in the UK. She is having the most fun on Taskmaster, and you sort of went and she was on the podcast talking about a different season, but then she talked a little bit about her season. And I don't remember if it was between when she got the offer and between when she started, but very recently to when she got the offer to be on Taskmaster, her husband left her for a younger woman. So
she's just enjoying being around people who are being nice to her and just like having the time of her life and hugging people doing
she's
real
weird
stuff.
She's decided to double down.
I'm watching the fifth season right now because when I need to be in a good mood, I watch Taskmaster.
Okay. It's got a lot of good rewatchability. Is that what you think?
Yeah. For me.
Okay. Yeah.
It's my favorite thing, and my wife likes it, so I'm never bugging her by having it on.
Right. She doesn't. Yeah, fair enough. I've watched the Jumanji movie 4 times. So we have 1 television.
Okay. There's a task in the 5th season where they're given a water cooler, and they say, make a water cooler moment featuring this water cooler. And Sally Phillips, her solution to it is, I think they must make a costume where an actor is wearing the jug on the top of the, like a cardboard box.
Yeah.
She goes in the caravan, which is a feature of Taskmaster, and you can see them kind of banging in the caravan. So she her water cooler moment is she has sex with the water.
Okay. That's got to be low. Because here's my thing. Improv is not easy to come up with something in the moment where you have to act.
The whole show is more or less improv.
It's half improv and half physical
dexterity.
Right. And I would think, are there a lot of sex jokes? Because it feels like that would be the go-to.
You know, I would say no. Sometimes the art.
That's amazing.
Sometimes there's art tasks and dongs and boobs get drawn.
Sure.
Sometimes there's, you know, butt jokes. But as a whole, it's not sex jokes.
That's amazing. That means that these are people who are comfortable with themselves, so they can just do anything and it'll be interesting. That's the best improv I've ever seen, where it isn't necessarily, sometimes it's hilarious, but it's always interesting, which I think you got to go. That's where it should go every time. I've taken several improv classes. I'm not great at it. It's better with a written word, but that felt like this. One of the tasks when I took a class is you had to go watch improv. And the safest I ever felt was watching Sean Conroy and Matt Besser do improv. Because I felt safe. Like I was never going to, I never feared it was going to be gross or racist or anything or super mean. I didn't, it was at worst, it was going to be mildly interesting. That was going to be the biggest crime. That's awesome. I'm glad that makes me even want to watch it even more. And what about Desiree Birch?
So I put Desiree Birch on because I found her as a comedian since then. And she's really great. If you have, BritBox there's a bunch of Desiree stuff on BritBox. She's on a live at the BBC and there's another stand-up one where you get to see her, and her stand-up is really great. She's, I think, the only American who's on the UK show. There's a couple comedians that have a little bigger following in the UK, and she's one of them. She's just so funny. She's not physically capable, but she's being just really funny and super classy the whole show. She was on in one of the...
What do you mean she's not physically capable? Is she just out of shape, or is she physically abled differently?
No. There's doing things fast tasks, and there's... one of the tasks in her season is you have to break a water balloon And everything you get to throw at the water balloon to break it will cost you a certain amount of mitts. And then, what am I trying to say? She spends thousands, hundreds of minutes throwing rubber duckies, forks.
I gotta open this door for this crazy barking dog.
For the dog. So she's throwing everything they have in the Taskmaster balloon breaking store at this, and it takes forever, and it's hilarious.
And it just keeps going.
There's one in that one where you have to.
Can you tip your camera slightly different, Phil Krause? Tip your camera a little bit. There we go. I don't necessarily just need to look at your eyebrows. So okay. There we go. Thank you.
All right. There's one in that season where they have to ride a bike, and they can't stop the bike, and they have to put a hat on a mannequin and put a letter in a mailbox.
Jousting. Some sort of crazy.
And only grab the blue ball from this bin of balls and like that. So it's
wow.
It's her, and you know, she's just really funny and great. So
that's so awesome.
But look up Desiree Burke. She's worth finding as a comic of the week, if nothing else.
Right, right. There seems to be some great opportunities for some comics of the week here. What about Morgana Robinson?
She has a career in the UK that's mostly a impressionist and a character.
Oh, type character person. Actor? Yeah.
Like a character comedian, which, like, I don't know.
Oh, like Maria?
Like,
but different?
Yes.
Does she do voices and stuff?
Voices for sure.
Okay.
But, you know, on the show, she's another person who's just having the best time. I'm trying to think of a Morgana task that I can, there's definitely one where she turns herself into a mermaid fountain with water shooting out of a bra. Or no. She's definitely a mermaid. I won't swear to water shooting out of a bra.
Okay. And what's a task that somebody you like, but it would be piracy to find more of his stand-up? A guy named John Kearns.
John,
what are
Kearns
his tasks?
So the John Kearns task, to give you the energy of John Kearns, is there's a task where they have to, there's a tarp in the, like, in the driveway. Their task is they have to fold it up and put it in one of the containers provided. So there's like a bread box and a laundry basket and like a green wheelie garbage can.
Okay.
He picks the, and then they have five minutes to do it.
Right.
He picks the green wheelie bin, and you can't look inside the thing before you start the task. There are like 8 red balloons or something in the green wheelie bin. He pulls them out, and then he stands there holding them for 80 seconds, just with like a panicked, not even a panicked look on his face, just like, what do I do with these? And then it's this, like, he pauses. He has this, like, he has just this delivery.
What does he
like got
to
no
do with the wheelie? What does he have to do with the green wheelie?
Put a big blue tarp in it.
Oh, but he has to do something with the balloons that he took out of it.
Yes. He can't leave a mess. So I think he ends up popping them and putting them in a thing, or he puts them in another container or something.
Right, right. You know, or his pocket. If you bite a hole in a balloon, you can maybe.
But
weird tasks.
He's just got this energy like you haven't really ever seen anybody before.
Okay. And then now we go back to the top of the page where you said that, Richard Osman, Thursday Murder Club,
yeah,
guy is on series 2. And what was his non-lateral approach to a task?
So in series two, their location task, they're in like a, I think, a park. And the park has, so the task is, they're at the bottom of the hill. There's three Pilates balls.
This might be the one thing that I, the one that I did see. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So there's three Pilates balls. You have to get them from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill. And, you know, they're as big as your torso or whatever. So right. everybody else is like struggling. And Catherine Ryan, who won that season, asked yeah. somebody to stay with them.
Okay.
So, good enough. Richard, like, pulls out the plug and deflates him, kind of sits on him. And then he just carries him up and sets him down and deflates it. Never says you can't. But that's kind Let's of see. The one... Kind of the one kind where people. Cheating. There's a lot of like loopholes and like, well, obviously,
right. And if you can,
right, like you have to
if you
throw,
can find the loophole,
to, right, you have to throw the potato into the garbage can, but you can't. You have to stay behind this line while you move the line, you know, and oh. stuff like that. So he's the progenitor of. So two,
okay, and two actors from the UK Ghost TV show that I also thoroughly enjoy that's on Max,
yeah.
used to be HBO Max, right. Kiel Smith Bonneau and Charlotte Ritchie.
I think they're the non-ghost couple, I think.
Oh, okay, so they're the actual owners of the mansion.
I okay, so.
That's hilarious. Okay,
Kate is Katie Wicks on that show, or do you?
I don't know anybody's name, sadly.
Okay,
I will know so much about Taskmaster, by the way, when this show is over,
right.
for about an hour and a half. It's going to be great. I'm hoping to go in and put it on the TV.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in and put it on the TV for Chris, for my mom-in-law, and we're gonna. And if she falls in love with it, she will make us watch all of it. That's what we know.
Yeah. So even numbered, odd numbered series, I think, are the best. 5, 7, 9. Actually, 14 is maybe my favorite, so that's not an odd number. Series 10, everyone on it is great, but they're also filming it like the minute everybody got out of lockdown in the UK. So there's bit of... sad dread in it.
Oh, geez.
So maybe don't start with that one. But if
so, start with season 5, maybe, or series 5, as they call them.
Five is a great place to start.
Okay.
5, 7, 9 are all right. Some those are my favorites.
12 and 14.
12, 13, 14 are maybe the best they've done.
Okay.
And 15 has. Canadian Mae Martin, she ends up winning.
Okay. Oh, spoiler. Yeah. Does anyone care if when there's nothing to win is what you should all know. And it's just mostly now everyone's heard of that comic.
Right.
So that's the good news. Phil Krause, it's been an hour. This is what I have to say we're so close to an hour. It's been, is there anything? So there's a New Zealand version, an Australian version. The USA version, of course. Yep.
Let me say just generally, if you end up watching Taskmaster, you don't have to know anything about anybody to enjoy watching Taskmaster. Because
okay.
if you already love a comedian who's on it, you're gonna love to see him on it.
Right.
Obviously. But the tasks and the hosts and everything really work to
just to make it fun.
We've watched the Australian version and a lot of the New Zealand version. And I don't know who any of those people are, and they're great.
This is the definition of the Dork Forest, by the way.
If
you want to YouTube Google the words like a comic you love or a dorkdom you love, and you listen to that episode, you will enjoy that episode of the Dork Forest. But if you just listen to a random Dork Forest, good chance you're just going to enjoy it because it's about something that someone really likes. So,
I find this to be true about the Dork Forest.
I, of course, made it about the Dork Forest, but I will also do that about Taskmaster. And I think I might just go put it on. She was watching The Chase. It can't possibly be worse than The Chase.
The guy from the UK Chase is on a Taskmaster season.
Okay. Well, there you go. That The Chase is also a multinational game show. Phil Krause of the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh.
Time
Community Theater. What?
Go to the Time.
Go to the Time.
In Oshkosh.
.com. And it's also a Facebook page. It's got a website. Fox Valley Comedy. Let's just plug that for Lyle. Lyle can be on another week. Lyle, I'm sure, has many dorkdoms. He gave me a hat with a Oshkosh image on it that I wear sometimes. Because I like a baseball hat. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, Adal. How was the show?
It was great. It was with Phil Krause, who I pronounced Krause.
Oh.
And then he corrected me and said it was Krause. Right.
And you got it right this time.
I did get it right this time.
Excellent.
He watched that Taskmaster show.
Oh, yeah. The British sort of game show with the comics who have to go do crazy things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I thought I first heard of it. And this is some name dropping. Oh, I'm going to drop a name.
Matt
Fraction told me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I thought he was talking about Marvel because he's Matt Fraction.
Right.
It was not so. It was about, and it's comics. It's all stand-up comics, British. Right.
British stand-up comics and writers, because it was the writer of
the mystery
novels
that I enjoy.
The cozy mystery novels that you enjoy.
They aren't cozy.
They're kind of cozy.
Are they kind of cozy?
Yeah, they're kind of cozy mysteries.
All right. It feels like it belittles him a little bit just because the Minnie Muffin murder mystery is my least favorite book I've ever read.
Yeah, there are bad versions of all kinds of genres of books, right?
Shocking.
No one.
You guys, breaking news. Andy Ashcraft.
Right.
Some genres.
Sturgeon's Law applies.
Sturgeon?
Sturgeon's Law.
Is that a fish?
Well, yes, but it's also the name of a science fiction writer who famously said, 90% of everything is shit.
Oh, that feels pessimistic. Doesn't it?
I don't know. I feel like it's kind of optimistic.
10% of everything is great.
Yeah.
Except for that, there's also the sliding field of good to great.
Well, yes. Yeah, yes.
So I would say 2% is shit.
Oh, and
90%.
And like 88% is passable?
Sure.
Okay.
Who's got a glass half full? This one. Right here.
Right there.
Wow. I have got my hair back, you guys. I'm going to be hanging some laundry later. Ugh, that's what I look like. I look like everyone I grew up with who hung laundry.
You need to have a scarf on your neck.
Which is kind of what the headphones are doing for me.
True.
Phil Krause, though, fascinating. He like rattling off the different things that they had to do that were silly.
Oh, yeah.
The different comics that he discovered through that show.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. He told me he gave me ideas for Comic of the Week for the Jackie Laurie show.
Oh, nice.
A woman named Fern Brady and a woman named Desiree Birch. And then somebody.
I wonder why we don't name girls Fern here in the U.S.
I don't know. It feels office-like.
Yes.
It possibly nobody wants to make somebody an administrative assistant from birth. Other people, you know, you don't do it because of strippers.
Right.
Maybe Fern, you don't want someone to become an administrative assistant. I was an administrative assistant for easily 10 years. So
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that job. And
I think many people go from administrative assistant straight into stand-up comedy.
Interesting. It's a gateway drug, you guys. It's because you're driven mad by the shenanigans that is the office.
That's right.
And all of a sudden you're in. But Phil Krause, he owns the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, where they did the Ed Gein, the musical.
Yes.
That everyone thought it was The Edge. It was about, they thought it was the Bruce Springsteen or U2 guy. The Edge. Because the Ed Gein was all smushed together.
Oh, it was all smushed together. So it was like Edge Ein.
Yeah. The Edge in
Weird.
A musical is what it sounded like. And since he's a musician,
Right, right, right.
Yeah, it was weird. Very nice man and a super fun episode. And I recommend everyone go back and listen to it again.
Oh, all right. What was that? Give me a highlight.
Oh, I had the first film task of the first season.
Oh.
Was his favorite one. And your mama and I watched the first season.
Yep.
And she giggled and I giggled. And it was
giggles all around.
It was giggles all around. There was one thing, like Richard Osman, the guy who does the Thursday Murder Club.
Yes.
There was no rule. Like you had to essentially roll 3 Pilates balls up a hill.
Okay.
So he deflated them. It didn't say you had to roll them. You just had to get them on top
Get them up the hill. But no.
Yeah.
But he's the only one who thought, well, why don't I just deflate them and carry them?
Yes. He literally is the king, what is now known as the king of the lateral win on Taskmaster. Sadly, only first season is on Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the rest of it is some sort of VPN cheater thing.
Interesting, because I know that you've seen some of it before.
It's on YouTube.
A couple years ago.
Short-lived. Short-lived YouTube and then pulled down.
I see.
And I would like to do it.
Yes.
Because it looks like the people are having the most fun.
Right.
I don't know. But for some reason, 16 seasons. I bet you that reason. It's almost free to make. It's one of the cheapest things I've ever seen.
Well, right.
Yeah. And it probably pays each comic $1,000.
And each of the comics is on for the full season, right?
Right. So there might be 10 grand in it for a comic.
Right.
Though my friend Roisin, who's British and was on the first season, she was only on like two or three episodes of the 10.
Oh, really?
That was weird, right?
Well, yeah. But I mean, maybe she just had road work that got in the way or whatever. Maybe it pays really a lot less than you think it is.
You know the truth, my love.
I feel it.
You guys, it's a great episode. And by the way, at the end of this one, I forgot to say this, so I'm going to say it now. You know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?